What's up, Clippers Live?
Hello, Clipper Nation.
It's Tuesday, which means it's our weekly Twitter show.
Yeah, Twitter Tuesdays.
We come at you live on video.
What?
Get a look at it if you haven't yet. That's at Locked On Clips. By the way, we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. Speaking of which, today we got a heck of a show lined up for you. So we've got a game preview for tomorrow's action against the Hornets, or tonight's action against the Hornets. And then we're going to be going live on Twitter to take some questions. We'll talk a little bit of trade deadline stuff.
We got a bunch of good ones.
Yeah, we got some great questions from you guys. As always, if you're not watching during the live stream, feel free to send those questions in at any point during the week at Locked On Clips once again. So without any further ado, let's get this thing started.
Yeah, so tonight, Clippers play the Hornets, not in the Staples Center, so the game is at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. God, that's dumb.
I just like it because I can watch it on my commute home.
Yeah, we can get a little work watch.
I kind of love East Coast road trips for that.
Some quick injuries for you. Gallo is out for this game.
Surprise.
Luke Mbamute also out.
Does he still play for the team?
And Milos is dead? I don't know. I haven't seen photographic evidence of Milos in a really long
time. Do you think he's even staying stateside? Like, does he travel with the team?
Well, apparently there was some reports that he's disinterested with the team right now.
I would be too.
Yeah. It's like, well, you didn't seem too psyched in the beginning of the season, and now you're not playing. So that all works out. And for Charlotte, their only injury is Cody Zeller is probable, so we can kind of assume he's going to play.
Yeah. Apparently, like, I guess that's just the way things work now in the NBA. Even if you're highly questionable, you could still play.
You can still play, or you will play, and then
it depends on whatever the line is.
Dude, straight
gambling.
Up. We got to have a whole episode dedicated to that. So the last time we played was January 8th, so fairly recently, and we handedly took care of business.
Oh, yeah. it was some Bachman-Turner overdrive.
I like that. It was in LA. However, in the last 10 games... so not dead, probably. Thank you, Chonger. He said Milos was at the home practice at some point. That's good. Could be a weekend at Bernie's situation,
though. He wasn't, however, with the team on the 8th. But since then, the Hornets have gone, since we've seen them, they've gone 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah.
19-8 at home, which is really pretty respectable. And they're on a big-time two-game win streak.
Hey, we would kill for a two-game win streak right now.
So it could be a little bit more difficult this time around. They're sitting at 500 right now, which puts them at 7th in the standings in the Eastern Conference.
Must be nice. God, those bastards. We pretty much held everyone in check but Malik Monk last time. someone said Milos was also smoking a big cigar and chilling. Okay, now I believe it is a practice. We managed, Malik Monk had 24 points the last time we played, and the next highest was 16.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we locked down Kemba. He finished with 6 of 18 shooting, guarded mostly by Avery Bradley.
Definitely.
Who held him to 3 of 9 shooting. I'm hoping AB's knee can kind of heat up with the shiftiness of Kemba.
Yeah. It's also one of those things like Kemba... He can be an inconsistent shooter. I would say he has more up performances than downs.
True.
But he's had two different records. I'm pretty sure it was this season where he had the lowest effective field goal or the lowest field goal percentage for a primary ball handler and then like one of the better ones as well.
Yeah. He's kind of feast or famine.
Yeah.
You want to get into these team stats? I didn't know we were this close to this team.
Yeah. So I like if you look at sheerly by the numbers on paper, this is a very evenly matched game. We are the 11th offense and the 22nd ranked defense against the 12th ranked offense and the 19th ranked defense.
That's crazy.
Really close on the offense, and they're better than us defensively. Someone on Twitter right now is asking if this game is a must win. 100%.
Absolutely. Every game
from this, here on out, every team that is not like a true contender in the East, and in the top of the Western Conference is a must win game.
I'd say it's almost a must bury them game.
Unless we're pivoting on what we want to do for this season, which we'll talk more about later when we get into free agency. Charlotte is 500, like I said. However, they do have one of the easiest schedules in basketball. Their strength of schedule is rated at 28th in the entire league. So
good,
get ready for a little
you.
Toughness from the Clips.
So let's get into what we need to do to win. My biggest thing, which we kind of have... So there's kind of a weird thing that we need to get to the line.
Yeah.
Opponents of the Hornets are second in free throw attempts this year, which sets up us nicely. No Gallo makes us a little harder this time. We had him last time.
Definitely.
But Lou has been lights out from the line, and Tobias has been a little more aggressive lately, so hopefully him and Shea can kind of play downhill.
I agree. I think it's going to be super crucial, especially if shots aren't falling. So the one thing that's a little tricky about this,
this is where it gets weird.
The Hornets actually give up the least amount of fouls in the league. So I don't really know. I guess we're just going to have to really agitate them on both ends of the floor to make them get tired on defense.
Yeah, and I don't get how you can have like the least amount of fouls and the second most free throw attempts for your opponents.
I guess they're always shooting
fouls.
Like,
it's always shooting fouls. What else you got for this one?
We can't allow any second chance opportunities. Nope. I feel like we've been a little bit better at rebounding as of late. The Hornets are 23rd in both effective field goal percentage and offensive rebounding percentage. So that means that they're not putting it back up. They're generally not making shots, and they're generally not getting second chance opportunities. So if we can keep them from getting more chances to score, I don't see any reason why this won't be another cakewalk.
Yeah, and to go off that last point, I'm stealing your note in here. Trez would be great tonight if he had a really big game.
Oh, 100%.
He needs to be aggressive in the paint. Not that he's never not aggressive. I don't think that's ever been an issue.
Definitely.
Yeah, we outscored them, what is this, 40 to 50 last time in the paint?
Yeah, yeah.
That might need to be bigger tonight.
Yeah, I think that Trez is going to have to really step up with Gallo's absence.
Perimeter defense has to be really strong tonight.
Definitely, yeah.
The Hornets are 12th in three-point attempts and 9th in three-point percentage, which kind of sets... I don't think this is a full-on trap game, but this specific category has the dressings of a trap game.
Yeah, we really struggle to defend all the way out to the perimeter.
Yeah, and sometimes right underneath the basket.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things where, like, if they get hot, this could be a game that pretty rapidly gets away from us.
Yeah, they take 10 more threes a game than us.
Wow.
And we could, you know, we're playing away. We could be in that early catch-up mode.
Definitely.
What else do you think we got to do?
We got to use our speed and quickness in this one. So we do have the 9th ranked pace versus their 20th. And if you listen to the pod, you know that I sometimes say that these rankings can be skewed. But, like, we are a faster team than them.
Yeah.
And I think that if we're able to, you know, especially, like, rebound defensively and get out into transition fast, it definitely favors us. Last time we outscored them 21-9 on the fast break. We've been defending.
Which is rare for us.
Yeah, and we've been defending the fast break a lot better as of late. I expect us to really kind of use our speed to force more possessions and really get this one out of reach for them.
And with that speed, we should create good shots.
Definitely, definitely. So the Hornets are in the bottom 10 in opponents' three-pointers allowed.
Nice.
So the more we can stretch these guys defensively, like, expect them to be really tired on the other end. That's going to throw their shooting off. That's really going to keep them from getting on any sort of hot streak if we're able to make them work on both sides of the floor.
And we actually have some rest, so we might be able to have some fresh legs out there.
Definitely.
As opposed to that game against the Raptors. So now we're going to take a look at what could go wrong. The first one, this was kind of a lazy note by me, but it's pretty obvious. We just lose track of Kemba, and he just cooks us.
Yeah, he's
capable.
He's definitely a guy who is, like, can single-handedly change the outcome of a game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any doubt against that. We do, luckily, I do like the length that we have in the backcourt.
For sure.
I think that matches up well against a guy like Kemba, though. He does, you know, he is very...
Still Kemba.
what do I want to say? Crafty? Tricky?
Yeah.
Sneaky?
What are you doing over there?
I don't know. So... I think that the turnovers could really kill us in this game.
Yeah,
we've got to hold on. We've got to be really smart moving the ball. We've got to hold on to the ball well. So they lead the league in turnovers, meaning like the least. meaning the least allowed. So, you know, like, they're not going to give up they're not going to be as careless with the ball as we can sometimes be.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a secondary thing that could go wrong.
Yeah.
Is could early turnovers, do you think, take away from Shea's playing time?
100%.
Especially if the other team isn't making mistakes. And I think if he makes a few right off the bat, you know, he could be benched for a significant amount of time,
which sucks.
Is awful.
And it's going to be one of the things, too, where it's going to be the kind of turnovers.
Agreed.
You know, if he's getting double teamed and he makes a bad pass, I think Doc might have a little more leniency with that.
Yeah.
But if he's making sloppy passes, or, you know, he had a travel which got him benched.
Definitely.
A couple games ago, I will say he has responded well to this treatment. He's played well usually after Doc has kind of, like, benched him.
I agree.
I'm not for it, but at least he's not wilting under the kind of dickish response by Doc.
Yeah, I don't know. I just still don't know. I'm of the opinion that, you know, you catch more bees with honey than vinegar.
I mean, yeah, you're right.
What else you got for what could go wrong?
Lou isn't locked in, and our starters can't make up for his lack of scoring.
Oh, man.
It's a weird thing that, like, our starters need to make up for a bench player.
Yeah.
But this is who we are.
It's just very true. Last time is one of the few times that our starters outscored another team's starters.
Yeah.
It was a very narrow margin. Our starters outscored theirs by 8 points, mm-hmm. whereas our bench, you know, dumped on theirs 63-52.
Yeah. So, Lou had 27 last time, and Tobias had around 23 or 24. So that was with Gallo, though. So this could be a good game for Tobias, potentially.
Yeah, definitely.
This could be a game where Tobias really has been doing what he's been doing the last, you know, week and a half or so, with some down games. But this could be a big game for him. I'm hoping he can make up, and at least the starters can kind of show, you know, because a part of attracting a free agent is showing that the starters are still able of doing stuff too.
100%.
So hopefully our starters don't get just run off.
Chong, I'm pretty sure, is saying that when Avery Bradley is one of our starters, it's not a surprise that we get outscored by most team starters. Very true.
Very good point.
I have, like, my high hope for this team is that all five starters can score in double ten points.
God damn. We also got to keep their bench in check. Malik Monk killed us on the arc last time, hitting 4 of 7 shots.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen again, but...
Who knows, man? Random
people decide to go off on the Clippers. So that could happen tonight. We could have another weird Malik Monk game. Biombo could be a monster.
Yeah, definitely.
Down low.
That's kind of a hard matchup for any of our centers.
Yeah. What else? Do we have anything else and what could go wrong?
No, let's get into some key matchups for this one.
Hit them.
So I think a big one is honestly going to be the team versus fatigue.
Yeah.
So we finally have some rest after a real rough stretch of games. I think that it showed, especially in that Raptors match, that the legs aren't there. The team, you know, like, has trouble shooting. What did we take?
We made 12 three-pointers? We took 12 three-pointers in the game against the Raptors, and we made two.
So I'm hoping that they can overcome that, because this road trip is not going to be easy.
Oh, it
and
sucks,
it's going to be really... I would consider all three games of this next stretch must wins, with the Celtics one being very, very hard.
Yeah, and the Pacers one, we can get one, but... Yeah. It'd be nice. Chong says, I'm predicting Marvin Williams shredding us from deep. Don't get those negative thoughts out of here, Chonger. That could totally happen, though. Tobias versus Batum.
Oh, yeah.
This is a game that I want to see Tobias crush. I think
Definitely.
We all want to see that.
Yeah.
He had 23 last time with 4 of 7 shooting from deep, just like Malik Monk. but he didn't have Gallo. He's going to have to be more aggressive in the paint this time.
Yes.
It would be. So my qualifiers for Tobias having a good game are a 30-piece. No matter what happens, that'd be great, 30 points. Or 8-plus points in the fourth quarter if the game is within 5 points.
Oh, I like that. I mean, I think double digits in the fourth would be awesome.
It would be so cool to see.
And just piggybacking off of this and, like, the rest thing, like, these guys have had to carry such a heightened load with Gallo out. Like, both Lou and Tobias have had to shoulder a lot more, like, game after game after game. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope we can just keep that up.
Mm-hmm. You want to go in this bench one?
Yeah, so I'm excited about this battle of the bench centers. I like Willie Hernan Gomez. I like both the Hernan Gomez brothers. and I like the matchup of him versus Trez. Hernan Gomez has a height advantage for sure, but Trez is bigger. And I think, like, with his explosiveness, as well as, you know, his weight advantage, his size advantage there, he could have a really big game tonight.
That would be awesome.
I think that he's going to be able to battle for boards on the defensive end over Hernan Gomez, and I think that Hernan Gomez is not going to be able to stop Trez in the paint.
I want to see some power dunks, dude.
Yeah.
I want to see some insane power dunks. I want to see the silhouette of the Shaq logo.
Oh, yeah.
Like that old. AB versus Kemba, I mentioned it a little bit before, but stopping their number one scorer and facilitator is always a recipe to win the game.
100%.
He couldn't... The team last time couldn't really generate anything outside of Malik Monk. No one else had, like, a truly great shooting performance or anything like that.
Yeah.
So if we're going to force everyone else on the Hornets to beat us, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Other than Kemba.
And then just Clippers versus the bathroom break.
Let's just not take.
We gotta play all four quarters of this game.
Yeah,
so.
It's a quasi trap game. I don't want to call it a full trap game.
Yeah,
but I don't know. What's your prediction for this game?
Oh man. So I think it's gonna be. I think this one is gonna be a big one. I think I'm going 125-115 Clippers.
Clippers. All right, I can respect that. I'm going 121-108 Clippers. Hopefully we get
120 to 108. Oh, yeah, I like that.
Seems,
for sure.
Seems rational.
We're both pretty close in there.
Yeah. All right, guys. Coming up after this quick ad break, we're going to get to Twitter Tuesdays. Thank you for tuning in. We're talking trade deadlines, stuff like that. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, be them NFL or NBA, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates everything. The Instagram stories are great for breaking news and local input. Again, Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. So welcome to Twitter Tuesdays.
Hey, guys.
Hello to everyone on Twitter. Chonger is saying, don't know how trappy things can get after being blown out by 20 a couple days ago. Hopefully that would get them going. Agreed 100%.
So. I mean, we've been blown out before, though.
Yeah. So we're going to get into some user questions we got before we started the stream, which were some really good ones.
Feel free to keep them coming in, though, guys.
So this one, we've talked about this one before, but this is from user at Yilin Yang. He's in the UK. He had a question. Do you think it's really necessary to fight for the playoffs, giving up a lottery pick and being destroyed by Golden State?
So...
I'm going to be honest, I'm on the fence about it now.
There's an interesting theory of thought that Kevin Arnovitz brought up on the most recent episode of the Low Post, mm-hmm. where he said that the Clippers' best move is to flip Tobias before he walks in free agency,
which I don't
and know. drop a spot in the standings to retain our pick.
I think that's making a big assumption that Tobias is going to walk.
So here's my argument for Tobias walking.
Someone just asked, do we have our pick this year? We only have the pick if it's
top 15 protected.
Top 15 protected. So if we make the playoffs, we don't have that pick.
We don't have the pick. So here's the thing about Tobias being offered the max. There's going to be a lot of salary space available. I could see the Kings offering him a max. The Knicks would definitely offer him a max.
They will.
There's a bunch of teams out there. I mean, the Suns could offer him a max.
Yeah. My sons.
there's like a bunch of spots where he could get a max. And honestly, unless we can't land another free agent, I don't see us offering Tobias a max contract.
Because our max is 188.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a lot. It's
oh,
five
someone's,
for 188.
Someone's saying the Nets could
Absolutely.
Offer him a max. That'd be a great fit for him.
So yeah, I think we're both kind of on that fence of like, we were both pretty big win and make the playoffs guys.
It's and I'll keep coming back to this. It's the double-edged sword of making it to the playoffs is the best possible pitch for free agents. Even if you get swept,
yeah,
it's the best possible pitch for free agents because without an all NBA guy, this is where we're at.
And you can say that like, well, even you know, smart people know we would have made the playoffs had we put more effort or something like that. But that leaves too much up to chance.
Definitely,
from my perspective, I'm like that.
But on the other side, I mean, keeping the pick. Here's my thing with keeping the pick. I don't see that being as valuable as flipping Tobias plus that pick for something better.
Yeah, I agree with that. this is another from at user ClipperCam. Shout out ClipperCam. Yeah, he and I talk a lot. What do you guys think is the end result for the Clippers roster wise if they don't get any stars in free agency? This is a great question. This is the first person who's brought up the possibility of maybe not getting one of the top three stars.
Yeah,
which is I think a bigger possibility
than
getting two stars. We're not going to get two max guys. I haven't put, you know, I've been trying to think about this one. I'm confident the front office has a plan.
Yeah, definitely.
I think
has a plan.
I'm assuming they have kind of tiers of guys.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to probably pitch the big guys first and then maybe slowly work their way down. I think Vucevic might be kind of high up on our list.
Yeah.
I mean, of guys who we would offer things to. So
I still don't love it.
I don't love it either, but he would make our team better.
Not defensively.
Yeah, who cares about defense? but I think we would maybe retain some guys if we could get them on a cheaper contract.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know.
Great question.
We're really we're not as all in as the Knicks went this free agency deadline. But like we are kind of we have set up this plan kind of banking on getting a max guy.
Mm-hmm.
If we whiffed on all of them,
that'd suck.
It's just then we get into a weird spot where we're going to have to overpay some kind of role player guys to keep them.
Which is such an old Clippers move, and I hope we don't do it.
Yeah, which would not be a great spot. And honestly, if we can't land a big free agent...
Hold on to the money?
Yeah, I guess like hold on to the cap space, try to create room, get some shorter contracts, try to make a trade for something.
Yeah. We do remember we have Jerry West at the helm.
Yeah.
So if we don't get a guy, it's not the end of the world.
Definitely.
But, I mean, fantastic question. He followed that up, that great question, with another question. This one was fantastic. If we don't make the playoffs and keep our pick, should the Clippers target Nickeil Alexander-Walker in the draft, who, for those of you who don't know, is Shea's cousin?
Oh, wow.
So I was looking at this. He's a PG slash shooting guard, 6'5 with a 6'9 wingspan. Let's listen to his stats real quick. He's playing for Virginia Tech, 33.5 minutes per game, 17.5 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, 42% from 3.
Okay.
On 4.7 attempts a game.
That's really solid.
He's a second-year player. His weaknesses, from what I've read off of 3 draft sites, he needs to become more of a catch-and-shooter as opposed to a set shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Raw decision-making, which, whatever. Inconsistent shooter, which I'm not sure I believe. And he's improved his free throw percentage every year in college, still only around 78%. This is where it gets weird.
Yeah.
No one knows where to mock this guy.
Yeah, so here's the thing. You know, this stuff is all highly variable.
Yeah.
I would just say right off the bat, I'm a little bit hesitant to add another rookie guard to the scenario.
That's the only thing for me.
If we did retain the pick, and it was somewhere in the top 15,
big guy.
Guard would most likely not be my draft pick.
I'd want a I want a big, 4 or 5.
I would want a big or like a solid wing who can defend well and catch and shoot.
Yeah. So he's NBADraft.com has him mocked at 6th. SI has him at 16th, and DraftSite.com has him at 32nd. So you have literally the entirety of the draft where people think this guy's going to go.
Yeah, really hard to tell.
I mean, depending on what happens with our guard situation, like second round, if he fell that far,
yeah,
I'd be okay with it. But I think you're totally right. I think we need to target a big guy.
I think if we do end up, yeah, with a top 15 pick, I don't personally think that a guard is the way to go.
I think
3-and-D wing would be really nice.
I think we wait for a little guy named Bull Bull to fall down to us. Shout out all my bull heads out there. Coming up after this quick break, we're getting back to these Twitter questions. So a lot of people have kind of mentioned, like, Cooperman had a question, which was, shout out John Cooperman. Can we keep, would you give Tobias the max and Kawhi the max? I wouldn't.
We're getting comments from a huge bullhead.
I wouldn't, because to get 2 max players, there's a great article, I believe it was on Clipperholics, about how we essentially, if we get 2 max players, we have to part with one of Lou or Trez.
I don't see how, because neither one of those guys makes a lot of money.
Yeah, but to fit the 2 max contracts.
I see.
And I don't want to part with...
get rid of Gallo?
I don't know. I think this situation was keeping Gallo.
I see. If we give Tobias the max and get one more player, we don't. We sell Gallo and
we gotta sell Gallo.
And we probably take a bath on it, to be perfectly honest, just given his injury history.
He's not going
to
be...
We might have to even like attach a pick or something. No, he's good enough not have to attach a pick. But
and we've kind of talked about this. Will, you kind of think that this is a... Maybe we're shelving Gallo right now.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Until the trade deadline to move him.
Can we give Toby 80 mil and get another free agent?
Yes
we can. I don't think he's going to take 4 for $80 though.
Yeah.
I think I would like
4 for $80 is hard to take if someone's offering you 4 for $144.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we'll offer him 4 for $100, maybe 4 for $120. I think that I would guess, honestly, if we're being honest, that the front office has a number that they've drawn on a piece of paper
they
slide across the table. Yeah. And it's not going to be anything more than that. And I honestly don't think that that's going to be max money. We'll see.
They're meeting at the In-N-Out on Sunset and Orange.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
here
it is. Here's the offer.
They're not going to text it to him. They've got to slide it across the table.
Yeah,
and it's not
going to
be anything higher than that.
And I don't want, I guess we can kind of talk about the AD stuff because the Lakers have backed out, I think, smartly. Because they were offering, the Pelicans wanted...
I don't know if that's confirmed, though, or a diversion, because I think the Lakers have been in this position where they're...
The
bidding,
Kawhi situation.
They're bidding against themselves, too.
And
nobody else is trying to throw as much stuff in right now, mainly because the Celtics can't even try.
And Pop did it with the Kawhi situation. He was like, I want everything from you guys for
Kawhi.
That's
the thing, too. I feel like people focus on the fact that Pop didn't do a deal with the Lakers. I don't think it was out of spite. I just think the package they offered wasn't good enough.
Yeah, and there's only one team bidding, so it's like, get whatever you can from that team. Someone just asked, if we're not going to pay Harris, then we should trade him. I'm not mad at that idea.
I'm kind of on board with this. If we are willing to punt on this season and try to keep our pick, I think that flipping Harris in the next couple of days becomes a very realistic possibility.
Lakers will try again before the deadline, says John Cooperman. I don't know.
For AD?
Yeah.
I think they will. I think that they'll... I don't think it's going to happen, but I think that they're very desperate for another star.
Which is it's so funny to see this team not be able to develop talent.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're just kind of falling ass backwards into these really great picks. And then LeBron comes, and they blow the whole thing up.
What talent, though, have they really developed?
Someone just commented, my barber uses Clippers, too. Oof, man, go back to work. Yeah, the trade deadline. How active do you think we're going to be on the trade deadline?
So here's the thing. Zach Lowe and Kevin Arnovitz both put the Clippers as teams to watch, exciting teams to watch at the trade deadline. I do think that there is the potential there for a lot of movement, a lot of interesting stuff. I don't think that we're going to end up doing anything.
It seems like, and this is kind of every trade deadline season, that everything happens just rapid fire and almost by the seat of people's pants. But that's not our front office anymore.
No,
that's not our guys. We don't want to put pressure on a move. I was happy with the Kristaps thing that we didn't cobble together some offer. Like a really short-sighted, really quickly thought-out offer, because that wouldn't have shown,
I guess.
You know, fortitude from the front office. Also,
I would have gone Kristaps for Gallo.
Yeah, well, I would have done that in a second. But here's a funny thing. Someone mentioned, like, real trades, like the Mavs and the Knicks one, happened, and no one hears about it. You know, like, that trade was in place before the hour or whatever in between
100%,
that meeting.
Yeah, 100%.
They don't go down like this Lakers trade.
It's all collusion. It's all tampering.
Yeah, they're all in bed together. But yeah, so I think unless Jerry and, you know, Lawrence Frank have something firmly in place that they've been, like, thinking for the past couple weeks, or maybe even just a week, I don't think anything happens.
Someone is asking, non-Clips related, say KD and Clay resign, would Bron and AD be enough to beat the Warriors? No.
I don't think so, man. Like,
no, I really don't think so.
If they're doing that package that they have to give up, no way.
Yeah, like, especially given all that they'd have to give up.
Who's
going to
be the point guard? Isaac Bonga? Like, that's their point guard. Yeah, and Lance is gone. I don't know who would even be on that team. I'm happy. So let's wrap this up in a couple minutes and then we'll keep talking on the stream after we stop recording. But so do you want the Clippers to make a move on the deadline? Yes or no?
I think make a move if it's with the intention of keeping our pick and retaining future assets. I think if their idea is to try and make a deal to make this team better or fortify any sort of playoff push, that's a waste of effort.
Yeah, I agree with that. If we're trying to do some move that's going to get us to win one game in the first round,
I just don't think there's anything available out there that's more than a middling move in terms of improving the team for this season.
Yeah,
long term, I do think that there are moves out there that can improve the team and have implications beyond this season.
Someone just said Anthony Davis to Clippers. I don't even think we don't have anything to give him. We have to give him Jerome, Shea, a bunch of in and out. I don't know. Do you think DJ is coming back to the Clippers? People have talked about that a lot. I don't see it happening.
I don't see it.
I don't think he wants to come back.
I'm not really that interested in the idea of it either.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to come back. I mean, he turned down the contract we offered him, and he just has, effort issues that just get exacerbated as you get older.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
That about wraps it up for us, you guys. We have been Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are coming at you Monday through Friday. Please rate, like, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave a review. Yeah, tomorrow we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Hornets. And what else? What's going on? Tomorrow's Wednesday?
Tomorrow's Wednesday, yeah. What could have been Wednesdays in the Arlo universe?
I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.